Today we're going to complete our journey in the book of Philippians. So I invite you to open your Bible to, I need to learn to be more contemporary. So open your Bible or your device. To the book of Philippians. And happy birthday, Bill. We're not going to sing. No. No, seriously, happy birthday. And it falls right now, today. Okay. No singing, but everybody give Bill a hug.
Lucky Bill.
Next Sunday, before I read from Philippians, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. And Advent simply means coming. It's the annual season of the church year when we remember that Christ has come and Christ will come again. As a great preacher of a past generation, George Buttrick, said, we live on the visited planet. And this year for Advent, I'm going to be preaching the lectionary. The lectionary is a collection of texts that takes you through the whole Bible in 3 years. I don't always preach the lectionary. In fact, I don't do very much anymore. But this year I'm going to preach the lectionary, and the texts are in both the book of Isaiah and Matthew. I'm going to be preaching from Matthew's Gospel for 4 weeks, looking at the biblical promises of the Messiah, and beginning with what Jesus said about his own return in Matthew 24. So that's where we're going to be next Sunday. I will be here to preach. I'm off on a way on vacation on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, but I'm not going to do that this year. I will be here to preach the first Sunday of Advent next week. I don't know why, but I was thinking a moment ago about a Thanksgiving long ago when Sharla and I were first married, and we were driving north from California. We were driving up I-5 to be with Sharla's family for Thanksgiving. And I was just cruising along and not paying a terrible amount of attention to the speedometer. And suddenly we rounded a curve on I-5, and there, sitting in a clever hiding spot, was the Oregon State Patrol. And we went by him at a rather high rate of speed. And I turned to Charlotte, because at that point I wasn't terribly familiar with Oregon. But I asked a really dumb question. I said, does the Oregon State Patrol have radar?
And
she said, well, yeah, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
So I looked in the rearview mirror, and sure enough, there he was. And so I pulled over into a turnout, and he came up behind. And of course, after, they like to make you sweat.
Yes.
And so after an appropriate period of time for me to sweat, he approached the car, and I rolled down the window, and he looked in with a big grin, and he said, you're in a mighty big hurry to get to Grandma's house. So that's totally unrelated to the message today. A memory of Thanksgiving. And I also, I'd like to tell you that I was clever enough that I planned this series on Philippians to end today with this text that's so appropriate for for Thanksgiving, and I did not plan it that way. God is a much better planner than I am. But this text, which is going to wrap up Philippians for us, is wonderfully appropriate for giving thanks. I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 4 and verses 10 to 14. Hear now the word of God. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you bow with me? Well, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the things we've seen in Paul's letter to the Philippians is that he has this irrepressible joy that comes through this letter. In fact, the letter to the Philippians is sometimes called the letter of joy. And there's this irrepressible joy in the Lord that comes through in spite of Paul's circumstances. Remember that he is writing from his imprisonment in Rome. He is literally in chains. Back at the beginning of the letter, in chapter 1, verse 3, he said, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Then later on in chapter 1, he says he's having trouble making up his mind whether it would be better to die and be with the Lord. He's facing execution. Would it be better to die with the Lord or to be here and share the Lord in this ministry with the Philippians? He can go either way. Then here, beginning in verse 10 of chapter 4, he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you've revived your concern for me. They have reconnected with him. They have taken an offering. Not for his support, but for the support of the work. The theme that comes through is not only joy, but contentment. Contentment in Christ. And it's not merely that Paul is an optimist. It's not merely that Paul has a sunny disposition. But he's content in Christ. Paul's contentment is not based on his outer condition. Now, remember once again, he's in prison. He's chained to a guard 24 hours a day. And he's awaiting execution. And he's joyful and hopeful and content. In a very powerful way, he's modeling the promise of Jesus. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And in today's text, he says, I learned the secret. So what is the secret of contentment? What is the secret of being content in every circumstance? The secular world, the unbelieving world, believes that I think you can sum up what the world will teach you about contentment in one word. That the world thinks that the key to contentment is more. If I just had more, I'd be content. If I just had more money, big nest egg, more income, then I'd be at peace, I'd be content. More love, if I just had more relationships, more people around me who really cared about me, who really understood me, as opposed to the ones I've got. Then I'd be content. If I just had more power, I feel like I'm the victim of circumstances and everybody around me and making me do the things they want me to do. I don't have any power at work or wherever, and so if I was just more in control, if I just had more achievement, more academic degrees, if I just had more happiness in my marriage, in my family, more time with my spouse, my children, if I just worked out more, then I'd be healthy. It doesn't matter what you desire, the strategy is always the same. If I could only get more and hold on to it, then I'd be content. It doesn't matter what you're trying to accumulate more of. If your contentment is based on getting more, you'll never have enough. In fact, if your life is based on wanting more, then you're going to be a slave to whatever it is you want more of. Now, when Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians, from a carnal standpoint, from a worldly standpoint, Paul has nothing. He's in prison, so he has no freedom to come and go as he pleases. He has no money. He has no circle of friends, no privacy. He has no prospect of a brighter future from a human standpoint. He has no stock options, no 401k nest egg, no travel plans, no hope for retirement. But he says he's learning something very important. Listen to verses 11 to 13 again. He says, I have learned. He wasn't born with this. He had to learn it. The Lord taught him. He says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Thank you, Lord. What a great text for Thanksgiving. Because, dear friends, if our Thanksgiving is based only on things that the world would measure as worthy of thanks, then how are we any different from unbelievers? Verse 13, maybe one of the best known verses in the New Testament, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By the way, that may be one of the most abused verses in the entire Bible. And it's very often crowbarred out of its context to say that I can do, by golly, anything I want, and Christ will empower me to do it. When I think of that verse, I always think of Stephen Curry. You may know Stephen Curry. He's a famous basketball player. He's a wonderful guard for the Golden State Warriors. You may know that he's a Christian. When he was in college at Davidson College back east, he was famous for writing Philippians 4:13 on the side of his sneakers when he played. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I could write Philippians 4:13 over my entire body and I will never play basketball like Stephen Curry. Okay? It does not mean I can do whatever I set out to do or whatever I dream of doing, and Jesus will strengthen me to do it. There is a false and, I would say, idolatrous version of Christianity that says, I take my dreams and my ambitions and my hopes, and I go to God to get those things blessed. And God will bless those things, my hopes, my dreams, my ambitions. And you know that that's not what it means. And you know what? On the flip side of this, many people have given up on God because they've discovered that they don't really need God to get what they want in life. And you can't. It's entirely possible if your dreams and ambitions are entirely of this world and what this world would teach you to dream of and strive for, you can get those things without God. God will not help you fulfill the desires of the flesh. You see, our desires are far too small. Our ambitions, our little dreams are far too small. I love, and I know you've heard me say it many times, the image that C.S. Lewis uses. You know, C.S. Lewis asked the question, does God think our ambitions are too big or too small? God says our ambitions are far too small. And then Lewis goes on to say, we are like children in a slum playing with mud pies and content to play with mud pies in the slum because we've never even dreamed what a vacation at the seacoast would be like. That's what we're like apart from knowing Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me means that Christ will empower me to do what he has called me to do. Christ will empower me to do what he has called me to do. I can do all things, all of these things. Paul has been talking about, I've learned, it's in the context, I've learned the secret of having plenty and having nothing. But I do all things. What Christ has called me to do is not dependent on that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians, Christ was not calling him to get more, but to give up many things that he had cherished. He was called to give up his relationships. He's a prisoner. He was called to give up his livelihood. He can't make tents when he's in prison. He was called to give up his future. It's not in his hands. He's called to give up his dreams. We know that Paul had dreamed of taking the gospel all the way to Spain. He doesn't get to. All the things we cherish most, family, children, spouse, home, career, health, friendships, money, all of the good gifts we enjoy, brothers and sisters, are temporarily entrusted to us, that we will care for them as stewards. They're given to us by a loving God. And God is God. He may call us to give up those things long before we are ready to. Paul says, I know how to have need, and I know how to have plenty. And by the way, if you don't know the secret, Paul says, I've learned the secret of contentment. And if you don't know that secret, plenty can be just as big a problem as want.
Yes.
There are people in this world who have plenty of love around them, and they sabotage it because they don't think they deserve it. There are people who have plenty of blessings, family, home, career, financial security, but they can't see the blessing because all they focus on is the flaws. There are people who have plenty of leadership responsibility, but the opportunity is squandered for fear of making a mistake. Well, Jesus Christ, the Lord we follow, is the sovereign of the universe. He reigns over all things in ultimate supreme power. And every ounce of his strength is available to us to do the things he's called us to do. That applies to individuals, that applies to a church, by the way. Christ will supply all of the strength we need to do whatever he's calling us to do in this community. Remember that Jesus is the Son of God who set aside the splendor of heaven to be born as an infant. He lived among us, pouring out himself into people just like us. And then he freely laid down his life on the cross in our place. And he was raised again by what the Bible calls the power of an indestructible life. He crushed the power of sin and death. And all of this strength, all of this mighty strength is available to you and to me to do what Christ is calling us to do. All around us, every day, there are deeply wounded and dying people who don't know the saving love of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're one of them today. Or maybe you just need a reminder today of how much he loves you, and that he died for you, and that he's here for you. There is hope, there is contentment in knowing Christ and walking with him daily. The secret of contentment is the biggest open secret there ever was in the history of the world, is Jesus Christ and knowing him and the power of his resurrection. You know, when the pastor harps on the importance of daily prayer and daily Bible reading and discipleship, it's not just because the pastor wants you to feel good. And it's not just so that you can memorize a few more Bible verses. It's because that's the secret of strength. The world around us, brothers and sisters, needs believers who are strong in the Lord. Remember what he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The world around us needs believers who are strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these precious words from Paul as he was a prisoner and sharing with the Philippians and with us that he's learned the secret of contentment in every circumstance. Being content with plenty and being content with nothing. Father, we have so much to be thankful for. Teach us, I pray. May we learn, as Paul learned, not only to receive, but to trust you. When you, in your wisdom, take things that we cherish. But Lord, you have promised that we can do all things. Everything you've called us to do and to be with the abundant strength that you supply. Give us open hearts to receive. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.